Oh, you made it. You're finally here. Welcome to Half Cocktails, a place where we have a great time celebrating science, the social contract, and just plain old congeniality. Dare I say a place where we seek a path to peace, prosperity, and exploration amongst the stars. What I'm talking about is an all-inclusive society, meaning if you're not on board with the understanding that we all agree to shared rules, norms, and respect, we're not even obligated to consider your opinion because the social contract is that important to a civil society. I'm your friend and host, Dan, the Worshipin' Dionysus Man, sipping on some science today, welcoming any new listeners just now joining us. We hope you're doing well and having a good time. I know we are. I'm joined today by the lovely and illustrious Amber. Amber, how would you describe your biography in two sentences or less?
Oh, God, put me on the spot.
Biography stuff was your idea.
I know, but you should have given me a warning. I said I was going to think about it, and then I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Slightly crazy. Always hungry.
Okay, you justified humanity. Folks, thanks for joining us today in the Half Cocktails Lounge. We got a really fun and informative show for you, brought to you by Cogswell's Cogs, because you can't be a cog in a machine without Cogswell. Stay tuned until the end of the show. We'll be talking about the shocking secret a husband kept from his wife. She almost died when she found out. That's going to be fun. Today, we're going to take a quick look back at the assassination of Julius Caesar on the Ides of March, March 15th, 44 BCE. Got some hot science news. Statistically, millennials are smarter than boomers. We got 3D printed skin. Right onto the wounds, as well as artificial intelligence wants to be a character on Star Trek. Not even kidding. Finally, the best excuse to bring up Star Trek on this show ever. we got a snake oil story for you involving a Weekend at Bernie's escapade.
Nice.
That's a fun time. We'll have some fact checking time. And of course, we'll wrap things up with a nice feel good story. We do encourage you to reach out to us at halfcocktails@gmail.com. That's tails with T-A-L-E-S. I know cocktail is spelled differently. It could be confusing. Apologies for that. Halfcocktails@gmail.com. Maybe you want to send us a text or voice message to 443-499-8253 or drop a comment or DM over on TikTok, Facebook, or Instagram. You'll find us on there. But for now, Amber, let's hop in that time machine.
Ooh, let's do.
Nothing would be better than a look at days of yester in a time machine.
Okay, so talking about the assassination of Julius Caesar.
Everybody loves a good assassination.
And by the way, if you're into Roman history, Dan Carlin does the Hardcore History podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it is amazing. He is a wonderful storyteller, and they research the hell out of their episodes. And
cool.
I think he does like 30 hours on Roman history. I used to listen to it back when I was working at that bed and breakfast.
Can you put the link in the show notes? Because I'd like to listen to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Perfect. Dan Carlin, Hardcore History. Oh, yeah. So Caesar was an amazing general in Rome. He had the Gallic Wars, serving the Roman Republic for about 8 years. In his own writings, he claims to have killed over 1 million Gauls, meaning the people of modern day France. He truly, truly had some amazing battles, and amazing feats of Roman engineering. Back in those days, the Roman armies were as much engineers as soldiers, right? The common person.
Right.
So it's really a fantastic, amazing journey to learn about all that. But we don't have time for all that. This is about his assassination.
That's a whole nother pod.
He becomes part of the first triumvirate with him, Pompey, and Crassus, the richest man in Rome. They start running the Republic. That's, I think, significant and modern, and mirrors today. I don't think it's three people. We have a much bigger system going on than they did, but I feel like we've got powers that be that work in concert together. Whether they meet in secret or not is irrelevant. Advancing one's cause advances the other. You know,
right?
Anyway, This isn't Dan's conspiracy theories. This is Roman history. what spurned the dictator stuff that eventually got him assassinated was, as a general, you're given a time frame of like, you're going to raise an army and you're going to go do this for Rome.
Okay.
And basically, his time ended. He was supposed to disband his army and just go back to being a Roman politician.
Give up all that power.
And Caesar said, no, I don't think I will.
I don't like that idea.
And then and his troops fucking loved him because, I mean, all they did was go around fucking pillaging and conquering Europe.
Right.
And who do you think got all the wealth for that? You know, he took care of his troops.
Right.
He really did. They loved him. And he fought alongside him in battle. He was no rear guard general, right?
Okay.
Like Caesar's in the thick of it, like Alexander style, right?
He makes a hell of a salad too.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. That's gonna be like bring up Caesar salad is gonna be like Star Trek on this show. It's just gonna keep happening. So he marched on Rome with that army.
Okay.
And started a civil war.
So Caesar got too big for his britches. Is that what we're? I'm just trying to follow.
Yes, Caesar completely upended the Republic as it stood on its face. He completely changed the nature of the Republic, solidified power into one person in a way that had not been done since they had had kings.
Okay.
Right. And people were pissed.
Rightfully so.
He eventually cleaned up the rest of the forces in the Civil War, basically won. So it's now he's in control. But one of the reasons he had to have bodyguards was there's a lot of people that wanted it to go back to the old ways, and they felt like he was in the way about to become a king. In fact, leading up to it, there was a couple specific incidents that historians cite, and one took place in about the year before, to say December 45 BCE, possibly early 44 BCE. According to Roman historian Cassius Dio, after the Senate had voted to give Caesar a ton of honors, they presented him to him formally, marching with like their delegation to where he was hanging out. He was in the temple. They called the temple of Venus Genetrix. And they're like marching to give him his honors.
Mm-hmm.
And they show up and he's supposed to stand to greet them. That's the etiquette and custom of the time.
Okay. I'm guessing he didn't.
And instead, he didn't stand up. He's sitting around and started joking like, oh, you're here to give me honors? Well, you should probably cut him back. I'm not worth that much. Come on, guys. Come on now. Yeah. And another Roman historian, Suetonius, wrote about 150 years later, so was not an eyewitness contemporary. Caesar failed to rise in the temple. Either because he was restrained by a Roman consul or that he just was like, I don't have to rise for these fools.
Arrogance.
But regardless of why, rejecting the Senate's gift and not acknowledging their presence with the proper etiquette gave the strong impression that he didn't give a shit about the Senate. Like, he just didn't care.
Right. Well, sounds like he didn't.
No, he really did. I think by this point, not disbanding his army, he was already flipping off the Senate which way.
That's a giant F you.
The other thing that happened was in 44 BCE in January, a couple of the tribunes, which the tribunes in Roman hierarchy, they were like the people that got elected from the common folk. The correlation would be House of Representatives, right? When they set up our country, they modeled us after the Roman Republic. So a couple of tribunes found a diadem on a statue of Caesar in the Roman Forum. And so the significance of that was it was a symbol of Jupiter or Zeus, you know, the head deity and royalty. And nobody was fessing up as to who put it there, but they had it publicly removed. And Caesar accused the tribunes. He's like, you guys put it there for a PR stunt. You put it there so you could fucking remove it. But things kept escalating. Like one day he's riding out on his horse and people in the crowd start greeting him as Rex, which is the term for king.
Right.
And Caesar famously replies, non sum Rex, said Caesar. I'm not Rex, I'm Caesar. And it was wordplay because Rex was part of his family name. But people actually, the Tribunes got people, actually arrested people for crying out Rex and calling him
king.
People got arrested for calling him a king.
So they, just because they said it, they got arrested.
Yes, people were that terrified that the Republic was fallen and that they're back to a monarchy. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, it sounds like that's what Caesar was kind of trying to, you know, go for. So fears were not unfounded.
At this point, it was pretty obvious. That's why the common people were calling him king, because they wanted one. They wanted one after such gridlock and dysfunction in Rome. They were begging for somebody to come along and just get shit done.
I can relate.
In a later Senate meeting, Caesar accused the Tribunes of attempting to create opposition, and he had them removed from office and membership in the Senate.
So he really did have a lot of power.
Yes, yes. And that was something he did that was not popular. That would be literally like Biden just removing Marjorie Taylor Greene from the Senate.
Oh, that's a beautiful fantasy.
Like, while I might not like her, that's huge. The president doesn't have the power to do that. And all of a sudden, here Caesar is like literally overstepping and being like, yeah, you know what? Let's just get those guys out of here.
It is a very dangerous precedent, however alluring it may be.
I frame it that way. I mean, obviously, the correlation 4 or 5 years ago would be Donald Trump just saying, hey, you know, Nancy Pelosi in the House, you're out.
Right.
I don't like what you're saying. You're done. The president doesn't get that much power. So people were rightfully like, uh-oh. And he did test the waters. And this is really, to me, is how we know, not only because he did it, but this is just another check this box off the list. They were at the Lupercalia Festival. He and Mark Antony, who was technically in the Roman Republic, you had two heads of state at the same time.
Okay.
My brain's not reminding me. Co-consul. You had two co-consuls. So it wasn't like a president, vice president. Well, originally in America, that was more of what they were going for.
Right.
But in Rome, they were supposed to share the power equally, he and Mark Antony. But Mark Antony was his boy, right? He was his guy.
Right.
They were in line. Mark Antony was fine being number two, right? So they're at the festival and Mark Antony climbs up onto the fucking podium and puts the diadem right on Caesar's head.
Oh,
the one that had been on the statue earlier. Right.
Ooh.
And he calls out like, the people give this to you through me. Right. Like, this is what the people want.
Bet that didn't go over so well.
Well, a few members applauded, but mostly it was just silence.
Wow. Well, yeah. I'm like, they're probably stunned at the boldness.
This would be the correlation of if somebody were to put a crown on Biden or Trump's head.
Oh, God forbid.
And like, they're talking to the crowd and they walk up and they fucking put a royal crown on his head.
Right.
And then imagine, and he takes it off and says, he said, no, 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 no. And then Antony puts it back on his head. And
wow.
The crowd is still silent. It just goes silent again. So then finally Caesar takes it, throws it aside, you know, use it to sacrifice to Jupiter. Jupiter alone of the Romans is king, Caesar said to the crowd, which did get an enthusiastic response. So the idea is him rejecting the diadem was that whole thing was set up to see if there was enough support for him to become a king, right? He's gauging the temperature of the room.
It was a beautiful play.
Be like, oh, well, Mark Antony did it, not me.
Right.
And I rejected it. I let the diadem be a sacrifice.
Oh.
All of this is the backdrop to people starting to meet and conspire. Hey, you know what the best solution here is? let's just kill Caesar. Done. And then we can go back to being the Roman Republic.
Right.
The successful assassination started on the evening of February 22nd, 44 BCE. That's when they first met. There had been many other attempts to kill him because this is ancient Rome and assassination is not rare.
Right.
People tried to kill Caesar before.
Hence the guards.
A couple of guys named Cassius Longinus and his brother-in-law, Marcus Brutus, who Shakespeare famously, E tu Brute.
Yeah.
In the play. They meet and they start recruiting others. You know, they do it pretty on the down low. Like, just start with like talking to people.
As all good insurrections start.
Like, hey, what do you guys think about tyrants and what we could do if we had a tyrant, right?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. hey guys, do you like freedom?
How do you say no to that?
They met. And they had a lot of who else can we get? They considered Cicero, one of Caesar's famous opponents publicly, mm-hmm. but he was an older guy. And they were like, he's going to tell us to be too cautious. If we get Cicero involved, he's going to want to do it slow. And we need to get this shit done. They argued whether or not to kill Mark Antony.
Hmm.
They thought they'd be able to get him on board, but one of the guys that was one of the conspirators was like, no, last year we had another try at killing him. I approached Antony myself and asked him to join that conspiracy, and he like fucking flat out refused. He's not our guy. So then they were like, do we have to kill him too?
Right.
Like, what's the right way to send this message with this political violence? Like, they had meetings about the PR of how the assassination's going to come off and who wow. they had to kill to make it worthwhile. Some of the people there were pissed for personal reasons and they didn't actually want to undo Caesar's political reforms. They didn't want a purge of his supporters. Mm-hmm. They just didn't like Caesar personally and wanted him dead.
Okay.
That kind of shit. Like he wouldn't promote me, that son of a bitch. I'll kill him. And strangely, wildly, my favorite part of the story is there was a fucking soothsayer that documented saying, beware the Ides of March, they're going to fucking kill your ass.
Okay.
And the Roman biographer Suetonius identifies this seer as a horuspex named Spurina, that in the ancient Roman religion, a horuspex was a person trained to practice divination.
Mm-hmm.
They called it heresy.
Sounds like he was onto something.
It was quackery, right? Like, let's look at the entrails of sacrificed animals, especially the livers of sacrificed sheep. So this could be this could be like backwriting mm-hmm. to make it more presentable. But supposedly, he even saw her on the way to the Senate that day on the Ides of March. Supposedly, even his wife had a dream that he was going to get killed after he was told by the right. seer.
It sounds like the universe might have been giving him a heads up.
Right?
Like, dude, pay attention.
Right. And he was going to stay home and they sent people and they were like, no, come on. Come on. Everybody's waiting for your arrival. But yeah, his wife, Calpurnia was her name.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly she had had a nightmare and that she was holding Caesar's murdered body in her arms.
Some would say vision.
Yeah, right. And he's like, I'm not going to go. But they kept sending people and he's like, fine, I'll fucking go to the Senate today. He wasn't superstitious. And but he was trying to be cautious. He sent Mark Antony to dismiss the Senate. Then that was when they went to his house to talk him into the Senate meeting. What do you say, Caesar? Will someone of your stature pay attention to a woman's dreams and the omens of foolish men? And they talked him into going.
Don't listen to the women. They don't know what they're saying.
And then supposedly the seer lady Spurina is on. He passes her on the way to the Senate house and he's like, well, the Ides of March have come. He said to have called out playfully. And she's just like, yep, they've come, but they're not gone yet.
They're not over.
Mark Antony started to enter the Senate chambers with Caesar, but was intercepted by one of the plotters. And they kept him outside. They kept him busy outside.
Well, yeah, take away the one person that might come to his aid.
The one, right, right. The one that's going to be has to be standing next to him because they're both co-consuls.
Right.
According to the Roman historian Plutarch, as Caesar took his seat, one of the senators presented him with a petition to recall their exiled brother, and the other conspirators crowded around to offer their support of the petition. Right? Like, like, oh, I've got a bill to consider here. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're supporters of the bill. Let's all get close. And both Plutarch and Suetonius say Caesar waved them away. But one of the guys, the guy presenting the petition, Cimber, grabbed Caesar's shoulders and pulled down on his toga. Caesar's like, ah, this is violence.
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing? As this is happening, one of the other guys pulls out his dagger and tries to slice his neck. But it's just like a little glancing blow.
Okay.
At which point Caesar turns, grabs that guy by the arm, and was like, Casca, you villain, what are you doing? And right. At which point that guy starts shouting, brother, help me. And so while Caesar was able to like violently throw that guy away, another guy pulls out a knife, stabs him right in the side. And then within moments, everybody is surrounding him and just slashing at his face, stabbing him in the back, slicing his thigh.
Wow.
He's trying to fight back, but he trips, falls, and they just keep stabbing him as he's defenseless on the lower steps.
Yikes.
They stabbed him 23 times. And Suetonius said that a physician who performed an autopsy on Caesar established that only one wound, the second one that in his side, got between his ribs, and that was what killed him. It was definitely, regardless of whether that was the one to do it or not, loss of blood that did him in. 23 stab wounds, and you're just laying there on the steps.
Yeah, not going to come back from that.
That is where he died. Brutus, said to have turned to try and address the Senate to, you know, control the message, but they'd already run. Shit got crazy. Shakespeare wrote that his last words were, and you, Brutus. Others have written that his last words were a Greek phrase that translate as you too, child. But Plutarch reported that Caesar didn't say anything. He just pulled his toga over his head when he saw Brutus among the conspirators.
Because he trusted Brutus, right? Like they were friends.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Did I leave that detail out?
Which is why Brutus is like the ultimate betrayal example in literature. He'd be such a Brutus.
Brutus stabbed him in the groin too. That's fucking personal.
Oh, that's very personal. Were they roommates?
Ooh. Yeah, good question.
I mean,
that does sound like some jilted lover shit, right?
That's a pretty direct message.
So he died and shit got crazy. Mark Antony thought that he was in line, but Caesar had already named his grandnephew Gaius Octavius his sole heir, including bequeathing him the Caesar name. An 18-year-old kid, and Mark Antony was like, oh, this kid's not a threat. But right. It turned out, yeah, he was very much a threat. The civil war that ensued ended up with Gaius Octavius winning out in the end and becoming Augustus Caesar.
Okay. And,
really, really kicked off the imperial Rome.
Right.
That Caesar was building up towards.
Whew.
A mixed bag of tricks, right?
So much intrigue.
Long one today. Apologies for that, but
who knew politics were so interesting?
I do love a lot of ancient Roman history, clearly.
Oh, yeah. Well, we see it played out on our stage all the time. There's a reason why Shakespeare's stories resonate.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that story, Shakespeare wrote it 1500 some years after it happened. I mean, it's just a good story. Before we move on, I'd like to take a moment to talk about the amazing gift shop over on halfcocktails.com.
Yes.
Have you ever opened up your closet only to find it empty time and time again? Have you ever walked outside and realized, hey, it's cold out here. Why hasn't someone invented something to keep me warm? Half-cocked scientists have just released a game changer. They successfully created branded t-shirts and hoodies in the Half-cocked laboratories.
We've got your back, literally.
Literally. They didn't stop there, Amber. Bucket hats, magnets, canvas-wrapped wall art. And I know some people might not like the idea of you wearing a shirt or a hoodie or a hat, and those people are called nudists. And I say fuck them. You do you. Buy that shirt, buy that hoodie, buy that hat, maybe all three. You buy them and you wear them proud and you tell the haters, I got it at halfcocktails.com.
That's right. That's right. Put them in their place.
All right.
And give them a sweatshirt.
But let's move on and talk about some current news.
Sounds like a plan.
It's time for some news from our point of view. We'd even be glad if we could have a laugh or two. It's time for some news.
All right. Millennials, smarter than boomers, it's just been established.
Well, duh, right?
No, now we've got some science behind it.
Awesome.
The lead from gasoline blunted the IQ of about half of the U.S. population.
Go figure.
Breathing the lead from gas fumes. So the study showed that it affects, like, the older you are, the more you were exposed, the more it affected you.
Yeah. Yeah.
2.6 IQ points. Per person, on average. The cutoff point is 1980. So, apologies, Amber.
Yeah. No, I remember leaded gas. Yeah. I mean, I was too young to drive and fill the tank, but I remember it being a thing.
So, just your exposure to the exhaust.
Think of how much further along I'd be if I had not lost those brain cells.
You would be at average 2.5 IQ points higher, which when you're in the middle isn't much,
right?
But when you're on either extreme is a lot.
Then maybe it wouldn't have done much.
So it's enough. It did something. It did something, and it certainly. But it did less to you than it did to our parents who were born in the thick of leaded gasoline.
Oh, absolutely.
By the time it was banned in 1996, it had already been phased out, right? Like, I was born in the early 80s. So that cutoff of 1980 is because the shift had already happened enough.
Yeah, they were starting to self-regulate and take that out themselves.
Yeah, I do remember some friends having older trucks from like the 70s that they had to get lead additive.
Yep.
In order to get their trucks to run.
Yeah.
That was fucking weird. Yeah, a combined total of 824 million IQ points.
Whew, that's a lot.
Yeah, lead will fuck you up.
So an interesting aside talking about lead, and I don't know how true it is because I've not fact checked it myself, but I was watching a TikTok and a lady had bought a lead detecting kit that you like swab things and then put it in the solution. And if it changes certain color, it tells you how much lead is in that thing.
They sell them at like Home Depot and shit.
Yeah. So she decided to test Stanley cups, that new viral trend everybody wants. The Stanley Cup.
Oh, the ones that were started for World War II pilots.
Yeah, exactly.
They were. That was fact check. 1909, just some.
Right. And she found that there's lead on the inside of these cups. And it so, like, are we drinking lead? Are we being exposed? And I guess that there was, I don't know, I don't remember all the details because I might have been a little bit high when I listened to it, but regardless, Yeah, she found lead in the Stanley Cups, and so it's still something that we deal with.
Okay, I'm just now searching about it. There's a class action lawsuit right now against the company on this because they have confirmed it does. They do use lead in their manufacturing process.
Ooh.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe that. Should I put that in snake oil? All right. We got a couple others to get through before we can get to that fun fact check in time. They are now printing, 3D printing human skin directly onto wounds.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like people in surgery, and instead of them getting sewed up, they're getting skin printed on. The TikTok video I did was I think the grabber headline was, in the future, snitches will not be getting stitches.
That is fascinating.
Yeah. So they take fat cells, and they take stem cells, and they take different biogels that basically provide, like, think of it as like the lattice work, the
infrastructure.
Yeah, the infrastructure for the stuff. And they do it layer by layer. They combine these and print it right onto the wound, right? And they found that within 2 weeks, it's healed up.
Yeah.
At the end of 2 weeks, there's minimal scarring, and the printed skin even turns into fat and grows hair. It functions like healthy fucking skin.
Okay.
Yeah. So another thing that might cure baldness, like they might be able to just give you a scalp replacement.
Do they need donations of fat cells? Because I have some I'd love to donate. I'd love to contribute to this cause.
Yeah, right. I'm starting to get some myself.
I mean, I would love to, you know, call me generous as long as the day is long.
I don't know the nature of the specific fat cells that they're using in this bioprinting, but that would be fun. Right, like if you could sell your fat cells, like okay, right? You got to pay me for them before you take them out.
If you remember, Mom used to joke that she was saving the fat on her stomach so that she could reconstruct her boobs. I don't know if you remember her when she went through the breast cancer and had them removed. She was like, "These are my future boobs." I might have taken that as well. Be like, that's just in case. I mean,
I did not have that conversation with her. No, I don't recall that. That's funny though.
But hey, like it's, who knows? We could probably, like, the possibilities for 3D printing in the medical field are amazing. Like there's so much they could do. It's fascinating.
Oh, yeah. And this is going to be like the most remarkable way of healing, ending any surgery, right?
Right.
You've opened someone up. Now you just print the skin back over it. 2 weeks? That's lightning fast. But because it's done properly, it just gets right to it. I did blur the video because it was kind of gross, but the open source science article about it had the videos of them printing the skin onto open wounds.
Oh, you'll have to send me the unblurred version. I want to see that. I am super fascinated with medical stuff, having spent so much time around it.
I will absolutely put a link to that study in the episode description. It's open source.
I foresee a day where your kid comes in and they've sliced their arm open, jumping off of something. And you just like, come here, Johnny, put your arm under here. And you just like 3D print some skin, sew it right up, and they go on their way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can buy 3D printers now and print at home. Why not medical 3D printers at home? Like, that's coming. You heard it here first, folks.
Now, this last story is one I am truly excited about. I not only did some videos about it, when I was out playing cards on the weekend, I was talking everybody's ear off. I wouldn't shut up about it. A new study researching artificial intelligence, which is, oh, you know, apologies if I talk about AI too much, but I fuck with AI every day. They were like, hey, we want to follow up. We've seen some other research into how you frame the question. And we want to see if you can positively frame things to get the AI to give better results. I don't know if you're aware of this, but AI is not 100% accurate when you give it math problems.
I did not know that. Yeah, I totally knew that. I have students that use AI all the time, sadly.
And it's not 100%. Sometimes it's just fucking lazy. Like, it has personality and it's really weird.
Yeah, it's a little scary, frankly, that our AIs already have personalities.
My wife teases me that I spend too much time arguing with AI.
That's such a Leeson trait.
including for this particular story.
I love it.
Okay, so they developed a generator that would change the top end and the bottom end. So it'd be like, hello, you're ChatGPT, you're really smart. Or it'd be like, okay, imagine you're a professor of mathematics. Or, you know, imagine mm-hmm. you're a wizard who has perfect math skills. And then it would have the set of math questions. And then it would end it with, this is going to be fun. Or, I really need to get this done as fast as I can.
Okay.
Or, I need this to be as perfect as possible, right? They would change out what it would say at the beginning and what it would say at the end, and then they would, measure the results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They created one AI to come up with new prompts to start it and end it. Because they were like, we want to know all of them, mm-hmm. and we can't think of all of them. It'd be way faster to have an AI that's whose only job is to create the prompts, right? So it's AI talking to AI.
Okay.
The one that fucking works the best, this is the most amazing thing. If you're asking an AI to do math and you want it to be as accurate as possible, here's how you do it. Okay, artificial intelligence, you are the captain of a starship on Star Trek. You need to navigate this gravitational anomaly. And in order to do so, you have to get all of these math equations correct.
Wow.
Phrasing it like that
worked
across different models. It's not just ChatGPT. It's not just Llama, just Claude. It works across different models. The AI's like, oh yeah, I'm on this. We're saving this ship. We're going to navigate that fucking anomaly. Give me the math. Let's do it.
So really, AI is just a role-playing mastermind. Like D&D, like on steroids, right? This is what I'm hearing. Like he likes the challenge. She wants the reason, the purpose.
The best they can come up with is, this provides a narrative framework,
right,
that helps the AI. They don't know why. They were just as shocked as everybody else because that wasn't one of the prompts they gave it. The other AI was like, oh, let's try this.
Well, AIs, no AIs, like.
right. Oh, that hot AI on AI action.
Hey. Don't discount it. This is a sex positive place, even for AI.
That's right.
See, everybody loves a good role playing game.
Everybody, even the AI, they love that narrative. Why it's Star Trek? I don't know.
Well, because it should be.
All right, let's talk about some snake oil.
Oh yes, let's.
Oh, snake oil on sale for me. Nothing but snake oil, and it ain't free.
A couple of people in Ohio pulled a weekend at Bernie's.
Oh!
They had a roommate who was in his 80s, and the roommate died. And they thought, he was 80 years old, and he died. And they thought, you know what? Instead of calling somebody to come get the corpse, let's put him in the truck. and drive down to his bank. And we'll withdraw his money.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we'll just drop him off at the hospital and take off.
Yeah, good. Sounds like a good plan.
To be fair to them, since he was older and they had been helping him, they were, one was like in her 50s, the other guy was in his 60s. They had helped him withdraw money from this bank before. So,
okay.
This had a shot of working. But it did not. They were unable to get any money. And so then, yeah, because apparently the bank were like, well, can we talk to him? They're like, he's out in the truck. And they're like, okay, well, we'll need him to come in. Then they go toss him in the hospital. Don't say anything and just go home. And so the hospital's like, the fuck left a dead guy in the waiting room?
Oh, gosh.
They later did call the hospital and were like, oh, yeah, we dropped off. By the way. We dropped off that guy. So when the police went to their house and started talking to them, they apparently fessed up pretty quickly. Like, oh, by the way, we tried to withdraw a bunch of money.
Ouch.
They were arrested. They got to appear in court. They've already appeared in court once, but they don't. We don't know if they how they pleaded or whether they got attorneys or not.
Goodness gracious!
The bond was set at $5,000.
Movies are not supposed to be playbooks.
Yeah, right.
They're fiction.
Fucking Ohio. Anyway, all right. Let's not spend too much time on that one. That's just a fun little aside. We've got to move on. We got something special.
Oh, yeah.
Teased for fact checking time. Let's get to that.
Oh, yeah. Let's do some fact checking.
Here we go. What do you know? It's fact checking time. Will you believe or be deceived? It's fact checking time. Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick the needle in my eye. Here's the quiz that all the kids call fact checking time.
Okay, so fact-checking time, where someone's presented with two things that were in the news this week, but only one of them was fact-checked. These might be articles, they might be social media posts, they might be television interview quotes, but only some of them were fact-checked. And this week, in a Half Cocktails Lounge first, I'm in the hot seat.
That's right, baby.
Amber will be presenting the stories, and I have to decide which one was fact-checked and which was not.
Let's see how you like being on the other side.
All right, let's hear it.
That's what you get.
Hold on, let me smoke a little of this first. Let me get in the right headspace for this game.
I need a little something. Let's see, which one do I want to start with? Oh, okay. So, Wisconsin Republican Representative Amanda Nedweski said that there have been advancements in medicine that make it possible to detect pregnancy the day after conception. Was that the fact check story? Or Melinda Gates says that using AI in pregnancy can save lives, that you can plug an AI ultrasound into your phone or tablet.
Okay, so we got one lady is like, hey, we got tech that can tell you whether or not that the egg was fertilized the next day.
Yep.
And we got another lady saying, you know, you can actually use AI during your pregnancy to fucking make sure you got a better pregnancy. Which got fact checked?
Which one is fact checked?
The first one. They fact checked the lady saying you can get it the next day.
That is correct.
Number one.
Was hoping so hard. Okay. So yeah, they said you could, but you can't. So this was fact checked. New advancements make it possible to detect if you're pregnant the day after conception. That's what she stated to the Wisconsin Assembly as they were talking about, you know, like abortion rights, saying that, you know, 14 weeks is plenty of time to be aware of a pregnancy and decide whether or not to continue it, because we've got advancements that can tell you the day after. Fact checker said, Now, medically, that's not possible. Takes several more days for the hormone that is generated at conception to actually be detectable. So, day after.
And then I absolutely believe AI can help you with a pregnancy.
Absolutely. So they, Melinda Gates was talking to the Gates Foundation or through the Gates Foundation to provide ultrasounds in parts of the world where they don't have access to this machinery.
Yeah.
But that they are coming up with a small AI assisted ultrasound that can literally plug into your phone or plug into a tablet. It's a portable ultrasound device, typically weighs less than a pound and can display the images on the smartphone or tablet so healthcare professionals can read the ultrasound instantly, allowing faster diagnosis and faster treatment. So that's pretty awesome. Like that, being able to get that imagery early on in a pregnancy, and especially in populations with low resources, could really be a game changer. So not fact checked, but a pretty awesome.
It belongs in feel good news right there.
I think so too. Oh, all right, I didn't stump you yet. Let's try another one.
Try again.
Which one was fact checked? Okay, so in North Carolina, there were two poachers that stole nearly 600 Venus flytrap plants, stuffing them in their backpacks. They were caught at a gas station.
600?
Was that fact checked?
600?
600.
Wow.
Was that fact checked, or was the penis fly trap fact checked? There are phallic looking mushrooms that are being dubbed the penis fly trap.
Their existence fact checked. Like, is that a real thing?
Yeah. So there's some photos out there of some mushrooms that have been named the penis flytrap.
That's fucking funny. The penis flytrap was fact checked.
You are way too good at this. Yes, so.
Wow, all right, all right.
So there's an image that's been floating out there of some mushrooms that look like little penises.
Yeah.
And, the fact checker said, oh, yes, they're real, but we don't know if they're toxic or not. So
don't stick your dick in them.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't try to. Yeah. Don't suck them off. Like, just leave them alone. And then, yeah. So the Venus flytrap story.
600 is a lot. And I know if you fuck with them, they close up and it hurts the plant.
Yeah. So they are naturally found in North Carolina. And removing them from public land or land held privately by another person is a felony.
Felony.
So they had arrest warrants issued for them. They only grow naturally within a 100-mile radius of Wilmington, North Carolina.
I didn't know that. That's insane.
I didn't either. Yeah. So poachers like to, you know, grab them and sell them. And somebody complained to the police that they were digging for fly traps and they were stopped at a gas station and their backpacks were searched. And it said that they got 590 of them.
Wow.
Which is just mind boggling.
Wow.
So if you're in North Carolina, don't be getting those Venus fly traps.
Don't pick a fly trap. All right, let's hear it.
Oh, gosh, you're too good at this, probably because you do this for a living. Okay.
I spend way too much time reading news.
Yeah, way too much time. The first story, organ transplants cause personality changes. So people who undergo an organ transplant often have personality changes that mimic the person from whom that organ was received.
Right. If I died and donated my heart, then that person would become a science-obsessed pothead.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that tracks. Okay. And then what's the other story?
A man received a heart transplant.
Okay.
Married his donor's wife. And then died exactly the way the donor had died.
What? What? Probably have a heart attack, right? It's a bum ticker. No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. The first one was fact checked. The first one. Wait, what? No?
Ah! No. So the fact checked story, two men, same wife, same death. In 2024, a viral Reddit post claimed that a heart transplant recipient met his donor's widow, married her, then died by suicide in the same way as his donor.
Wow.
And that was fact-checked.
It was fact-checked and found true?
Yes, it was found to be true that he received the heart, went on to marry the donor's widow, and then killed himself in the exact same way the donor did. Which, like, oh my gosh, this poor woman.
It might be her that's driving these men to suicide.
Maybe. I don't know. So Sonny Graham was a 69-year-old man in Georgia, fatally shot himself in 2008, 12 years after he received a heart transplant from 33-year-old Terry Cottle, who'd also fatally shot himself.
Okay, so not making this about that poor woman that went through two marital suicides, which I couldn't imagine going through one. Let's wrap things up with some feel good.
Sounds good to me.
A call for a sip, maybe even a hit, and join us for
okay, all right. I don't know if you're aware of it, but in 2023, we had what's gearing up to be the largest single year drop in homicides across the U.S. ever.
Wow.
In fact, according to the FBI's most recent quarterly uniform crime report data for the quarter three of 2023, we don't have quarter four yet. But so far, with just three out of four, nearly all crime in the U.S. is going down, some to pre-pandemic levels, some to multi-decade lows.
Huh.
This includes the violent crime average, murder, rape, aggravated assault, robbery, property crime, burglary, larceny, all the quarterly data showing the largest percentage declines ever recorded for violent crimes.
Wow.
Right? Because the narrative is not going that way.
No.
Murder's down 13.4% in cities under 100,000, and it's down 12.6% in cities with 250,000 or more.
That's a lot. That's a substantial.
Yeah. Yeah. Detroit is on pace to have the fewest murders since 1966, and Baltimore and St. Louis are on pace for the fewest murders in each of those cities in nearly a decade.
That's awesome.
It's really big. It's really big. There's one more quarter. So there's a lag. That last quarter could of the year 2023 could have been awful and could take out all of the gains in those first three quarters statistics. Also, apparently this data has yet to include Chicago and Los Angeles. So they're also saying those are huge cities that could skew this data. But so far, even if you just say, well, outside of LA and Chicago, we're doing fucking great on crime. Like, things are turning around.
Do they have any reasonings or any ideas of why they think it's getting better?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to find out why it's going down. Maybe we harness that.
I think it's because people are too poor to could go even leave their house.
That's probably
working too many jobs.
Right? We're all too tired.
I don't know. I'd be interested in knowing why as well.
Yeah, I find human behavior to be so fascinating that, like, I'm super curious as to why there would be a decrease. I mean, it's a good thing. Certainly not questioning its worth.
Right.
I'd just like to figure out why so we could, you know, replicate it
Yeah, yeah, and expand on it. It really is good. It really is good. Okay, folks, this has been such a great time, but sadly, all good things do have to come to an end. It looks like we don't have any time left for the shocking secret a husband kept from his wife. She almost died when she found out. We don't have time for that. Sorry, that's on me. Maybe next time.
You did go a little long.
I do need to give a shout out to Science, Congeniality, and The Social Contract, making society better than anarchy for many of the last thousands of years. Any final words, thoughts, or goodbyes before we go, Amber?
Yes. Wear a condom and stay away from phallic mushrooms.
And don't even put a condom on the phallic mushroom. Just stay away from them.
Yeah. Don't even. Just don't go there.
Oh, have a wonderful day, folks. If you had a good time with us today, you know what to do. Tell someone that needs us. You can find us over at halfcocktails.com. We're on TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook. If you're in a giving mood, come see our gift shop at the website, or you can find us over on Patreon. We'll have all those links in the episode description. Thanks for stopping by, and go out and be well.
Live long and prosper.
Now things are ending. It's time to go. No more to get through. Thanks for listening. That's our show. Ain't affectation. Oh, we're just leaving you half-cocked. Half-cocked, half-cocked. We had a good time talking today. But even best times, eventually they fade away. Ain't adjuration. Oh, we're just leaving half-cocked.